Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. Here we are again for another edition of the Michael Deacon program. As always, it's an absolute honor and pleasure to be here. First-time listeners, don't be shy. Take this ride with me. Dean Ryan joins us in a moment here. He is the guest and, of course, no co-host tonight. Mike is on assignment, so he's not here, but he'll return soon. Now, Dean Ryan is the owner of the RealDealMedia.tv website, and it was a show at one time, but now the new show is called World at War. And of course, since day one of the lockdown, he has been covering the pandemic war as it happens, when it happens, with a multi-country assembled news team. Dean and his RDM team cover the geopolitical landscape, domestic and abroad, to the dinner table. Issues that affect everyday people like you and me. And of course, you can usually catch him live weeknights here on YouTube around 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. However, you're going to have to go to Rumble to listen to Dean nowadays. They don't like him here on YouTube, and eventually, they will take me too. He's worked for many of the top radio shows throughout the years, and he's here once again to talk about everything under the sun. Now, without further ado, let's bring him right on in. Dean, what's going on, my friend?
Michael, hello, hello. Happy belated New Year. It's good to be back.
Yeah, thank you. Happy belated holidays to you and to your family. I hope you're doing fine out there. Always a honor and pleasure to have you here on the program. Thanks for being here, by the way.
Well, it's always incredible to come back. And I just want to, just to correct the record real quick, is Real Deal Report. The Real Deal Report is a show I used to do, but
right.
Real Deal Media is still alive and well.
That's right.
RealDealMedia.tv. And as Michael told you, yes, I am on YouTube, Dean Ryan TV, the most infamous and really hard to find just anywhere on this platform right now, Dean Ryan TV, because Michael, like yourself and many other content creators, producers, we're all getting shadow banned as the algorithms have changed as the new TV season has now started now in the radio. And that's what they do. And, you know, unfortunately, as we were talking before the show here, Michael and I can cover something that happened after January 5th that's in the news. We can cover it just like them. And we get penalized. And why do we get penalized? Because it just takes a few people to flag your show on YouTube. But does Gary Franchi get penalized? Does Jimmy Dore? Does Mark Dice? Any other cookie cutter, conservative, or other show out there? No. And they're covering the same damn thing. But why do we get covered? Or why do we get flagged, rather?
It's a great question.
Well, it is a good question. And why is that? Because we're not owned by Big Pharma. We're not owned by any corporation or intelligence agency. But I think it's even more practical than that. I think it's because we have an audience that is not pigeonholed in one demographic or another and stretches far around the world that really crossovers in many different demographics from gender to age. And that is a big danger to the power structure, because it is so much easier and safer when we can be talking to just the cookie cutter conservative types, and they can manage that. They can deal with that. But when it really crosses over to all different varieties of demographics, that is the danger to this, well, you know, to YouTube, who just cannot go down fast enough like Twitter.
Right. And here's a little tidbit for everyone out there listening to the program. For those that don't know, and Dean, I don't know if you know this or not, but, you know, many, many moons ago, I'm talking maybe 2015, 2017, I was actually editing podcasts. And I'm not just talking about normal podcasts. I'm talking about the major ones, the top of the top. And you got to understand, a lot of these people are being pushed by these corporations. They are funded heavily. And I believe that's how lots of these people make it on the front page of all the algorithms on YouTube, even though they are supposed to be, you know, a little bit on the conspiracy side, yet they're promoted heavily. And, you know, they complain about being demonetized and shadow banned, but that's not really the reality.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, there's always a reason for the season, and a lot of those types, you know, there's a few that remain and what have you. Early days, I should say this, before the 2020 pandemic and the lead up to it, a lot of the QAnon based shows were very popular, if you recall. I mean, they were getting the numbers, whether it was X22 or, God, I can't think of some of the other ones. The SGT report. God, I'm really reaching. But
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of those guys. Yeah, there's a lot of them. A lot of those guys went. A lot of the popularity and numbers went down. But prior to that, it's hard to find these people because not a lot of people want to go to BitChute, per se. Not a lot of content creators want to go to DLive or Twitch, you know, where it looks like you're, you know, part of the gaming community. We are spoiled with YouTube. So naturally, the alternative is Rumble. Now, the problem with Rumble for me is the Canadians who built it, it's like they built the car without remembering to put the steering wheel in.
Right.
Until the car was built. So
that's funny.
When you go there, there's no replays of the live chats, and, you know, which we need as content creators. There's no moderators, and it should be beyond its infancy. But the good news is, and just to cap it all up here, is Rumble has taken YouTube and Google to the woodshed in a California federal court, where I am hoping and praying that the colonoscopy that came to Twitter is now going to come to YouTube, because it's so, so needed for the atrocities this enemy's platform has done to independent minds.
Absolutely. And I love YouTube, by the way. I do like being on here, but eventually that will go away sooner than later. I'm afraid to admit that to everyone out there, but eventually we're going to have to just stay on one of these other third-party platforms, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to get kicked off of here. And to be honest with you, Dean, I'm surprised it hasn't happened already.
Well, I'm surprised, yeah, because you have Jim Fetzer on, and those are the shows where I have him on that they're taking me off. They're taking me down. And this just happened to me last night. I guess that's why I'm a bit more punchy at this right now. But yes, you know, find Michael on Rumble. I've been promoting him on my YouTube page. We have a premiere tonight on Rodeo Media's Rumble page of Late Night Update season premiere. And, you know, I'm pushing Michael's stuff too as much as I can, because we got a band together, or we're going to be hanging separately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the whole sort of freedom of speech sort of illusion that we get here in America runs strong with all of us. You know, we think we have freedom of speech, but not exactly. Not exactly. And especially for those people out in Texas, pretty soon you won't be able to criticize. And this is for all of you white people out there, the white folks listening to this right now. None of you will be able to criticize any minorities pretty soon if this new bill passes.
Well, now it's interesting, and I have to read up more about this bill you speak of, but I find it very, very coincidental, with quotations, that this bill that you speak of is coming out in unison as the Davos crowd, the WEF over there in Switzerland, in their little conference. Well, they talk about one of the new initiatives that they're going to be pushing is really making hate speech illegal.
Right.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And the woman who was giving that little speech with Brian Stelter, Mr. Humpty Dumpty, just who fell off the ball and now is back on over there at CNN. Oh, he was just applauding for it. He was just applauding for it, that little pansy. And this is what they want to do. They want to make it illegal because we're approaching a real interesting realm in history, Michael. And we've already lived through so much, and that's just in 2 years.
Right.
But we're getting into the danger zone of the Nuremberg Code echoes that are now getting louder and louder by the week. You can't go on social media, for instance, Facebook maybe, and without seeing a new death of a public figure. So we're looking at just a eulogy report every day. I go on there, and it's just people are flopping over. The ailments are increasing, and it's undeniable. It's so bad that Jon Stewart had to come out of retirement and say, "Oh, maybe we should question these things." It's like, well, 3 years too late or whatever, because it's safe now. It's safe now to talk that way.
So John,
that's the freedom of speech we want.
Jon Stewart's still alive. I thought he was dead.
Oh, that's pretty bad. Yeah, well, no, he's still alive. I mean, for now, I mean, he's got 5 boosters in him. He was boasting about.
Damn, I'm surprised he's still alive. I thought he would have dropped dead by now.
Well, give it time, Michael. Just keep the candle running. I'm sure it will happen. But yeah, you're going to be seeing those types come out to manage the new narrative of truth, which is people are dying. People know people who are dying. It's the died suddenly crowd is increasing in every single day. And it's just what David Crosby died last night. Then you had Lisa Marie Presley. Then you had Jeff Beck. On and on and on. And those are just public figures. And we did the studies. In the UK alone, they've had an increase of 2,000 deaths per week, more than any time before and prior. And the NHS knows this in the UK, but they don't care. They're as bad as the VA was probably, 20 years ago. They're there to manage, and like Canada's doing, they're there to help you get to the next side of the afterlife, meaning euthanasia is a booming industry in Canada. A lot of people don't know it was legalized in California in 2016. They're now looking back at that and like, oh my God. And then UK, they've been euthanizing just forever since the NHS has been
right.
a thing. It's called afterlife care.
My goodness. And Dean, do you think it's wrong that, you know, I've been encouraging a lot of my enemies to get the jab?
Well, Michael, I think it's actually pretty loving that you would do such a thing. I mean, we don't want them spreading their evil ways, right?
That's true. I mean,
influence.
I've been encouraging many of my enemies to get the jab. You know, if you were that mm-hmm. sort of naive to get it, I think you're supposed to get what you deserve. And, you know, if you got the jab, part of me kind of wants you to go away.
Right. Well, they should probably get the Chinese anal swab first, and then, you know, that's the protocol, and then get the loving miracle gem. But yeah, that's happening. But, you know, they're doubling down, Michael. They're doubling down now. You have Australia who's getting prepared to push whatever miracle jabs they have. Canada, no doubt. But here's something about Canada that's very interesting because, you know, we're finding things that have happened or were purchased just several years ago, but they're now coming to light. So when I was looking at...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Into which people are going to see tonight on the late night update premiere on the Rumble. You're going to see a geopolitical deep dive by myself and our very own Detective Cagney, who's our foreign affairs analyst. Canada purchased the following. It's called the Iron Dome Defense, the Israeli Iron Dome missile defense.
Oy vey.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? And I found this out because the country of Hungary, and if you don't know about Eastern Europe and the country of Hungary and what Poland's doing right now, and potentially Italy, then you're missing the boat here because this is a worldwide pushback. This is 1776 worldwide, just like Arizona's important in the United States and Florida. It's the little countries and the rise of the nation states that are little that are now pushing back against this. For instance, Hungary purchased the Israeli Iron Dome defense system in addition to new high-level Lynx tanks that they're purchasing from Germany. Well, why is that? Because Hungary is prepared. They're preparing, along with Poland, and some say Italy, to get out of the EU. And when and if that happens, we're looking at a very hot conflict, which Hungary is preparing for, who's their president, their prime minister, Viktor Orban, is they call him the Trump of Europe. He's getting ready to do this, get out of the EU and get into BRICS. And this is a big, big deal. Now, back to Canada. Well, we know why Hungary is buying the Israeli dome defense, you know, preparing for war. Why the hell would Canada buy that?
They are preparing
too.
It doesn't really make sense, but I think they are also probably scared.
Right.
And, you know, before we even get into what we think might happen later on this year, well, at least I think it's going to kick off here. I just wanted to go back to COVID for 1 second and say, you know, you were out in Texas early on, and I had told you, I was like, do you really want to go out there right now when all this is going on? And of course, you did go out there and you were fine. What exactly happened, in your opinion, to Texas? I mean, I just told you about this bill that's coming. And let me just say that again. For those out there, soon you won't be able to criticize people of color. A bill was proposed that would make it a federal crime for white people and whites only to criticize or vilify minorities. And I mean, to be fair, you probably shouldn't really be criticizing anyone to, you know, really nasty sort of degree, just, you know, just to be a decent human being. But To make it a federal crime, that's a little bit too far. And, you know, when you do it exclusively for whites only, I mean, you're going to cause all kinds of problems. And of course, this was proposed by Congress member, I think her name is Sheila Jackson Lee. And I'm wondering, will this law even pass? I don't think so, to be honest. I think that's a little too insane.
Okay, you're talking about Sheila Jackson Hagg. I think that's her real name. Yeah, I know who she is. Yeah, she's over there. She's the sole Democrat who has the pedo symbol papels on her little, pantsuit, jacket, where she, you know, dresses like Mao Zedong. Yeah, that little hag over there in Houston, which is riddled with CCP, the worst of the worst crime offenders from the Ninth Ward in Louisiana, all in Houston. It's not my favorite place, but yeah. So what you're talking about is kind of what they're doing and what they started to do in South Africa a bit ago. This is the start of it. And it also polarizes and emboldens both sides. Kind of like when you go to prison, everyone's in their racial tribe. And it stokes the flames of a racial war, which Charles Manson was talking about. And that's what they want. And that goes into the Planned Parenthood part three, that they're now stoking the flames of, as we speak, with Antifa. Just the other day, Michael, in San Diego, there was a patsy, if you will, a victim who wasn't just black, but they had to make sure he was a tranny too, and discrimination in San Diego. And there were Antifa got involved.
Oh,
the
no.
usual, put the flyers out, meaning, you know, the feds involved.
Right.
And they picked a strategic place in San Diego. Now, San Diego is very diverse, yes, but it's also home to a large demographic and percentage of the actual neo-Nazis and white supremacists. As BBC journalist Louis Theroux revealed many, many years ago.
Yeah, you get a lot of that out here.
Yeah, so that's in San Diego. But and there's also some little sparks now beginning in places like Virginia. You're going to see places, yes, in Texas. There's a lot of communist stronghold in places like El Paso, San Antonio. Basically, where the more migrants are, the more infiltration they can have, the military-age men, and so on and so on. Because this Planned Parenthood is going to be different, because a lot of the first batch of these people that were writing, 3 years ago now, those people are gone. They're put away. So these are the new migrant rioters that they have now imported from other countries. But back to your question, you're asking about the COVID. Run that by me again.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what exactly happened to Texas. I mean, they used to be a lot, they were a lot different than I imagined. Especially during COVID, they were the only place pretty much open. Their bars were still open, and they were kind of the only ones I think Florida might have been the other only major sort of state that was getting down that way and not having these strict, these outrageous restrictions, I should say. And now, you know, Texas, again, they've gone more liberal than California, and I'm in California.
Right, right. So, okay, you're talking about, so in 2020, yeah, Texas shut their borders right away. But yes, it's true. A lot of the businesses remained open.
Yeah, they were still going strong.
Orange County had a few. They had a chain restaurant. South Dakota, I think, was the same. North Dakota, where Governor Noem, who is just a real sweet gem. Yes, so they remain open. But what happened in Texas? Well, what happened in Texas is you had what I've kind of coined as a mini Kalergi plan. Well, the Kalergi plan was a plan in the 1920s to flood the West with third world country migrants to get rid of racial identity, culture, nation makeup, and really bring down the value of the country. And they always play off a disenfranchised group, the oligarchs, the power structure, and then use them as the shield to then do their insurrection on us, the Americans, in this case, to do the communist color revolution that they started in the 60s, but then now they're trying to finish it and add globalism to it. So what they did to Texas is they took it over city by city, especially the ones closer to the border. Houston is a very interesting city. It is actually one of the most obese cities, a lot of people don't know.
Really?
Just a little side note. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of heavyweights.
Oh, yeah. You know, the biggest killer in the black community isn't cops, as the news would tell you. No, it's heart disease.
Diabetes, yeah.
It's heart disease. Yeah, and childhood diabetes and everything. But after Katrina, you had an entire displacement of just loads and thousands of people. They all moved them to Houston, and they never went back. They put them in FEMA camps in Houston. And with that, you saw a 400% increase in crime following the Katrina hurricane of 2005. A lot of that never went away. Now, with that disbursement and disenfranchised, you saw the Chinese come in. And if you recall, in 2020, you saw the Chinese consulate burning fake ballots, driver's license, at the top of the consulate building before a raid was to happen. And that's what happened. And so the CCP took over. You had the communists take over. Wherever they're disenfranchised, the struggle is real, you see the communists there. That's how they operate. So that's how they got Texas, region by region, the blue cities. And then you had all the Democrats, just Democrat people, liberal people from Chicago, New York, people that, you know, can't pay the taxes anymore. Well, they all come to Texas.
They all migrated there. I see. And Dean, what happened with you there? I know you were there for a short time. Did you not have any plans to stay permanently? Your plan was always to leave or stay. What was it?
I was there temporarily.
Okay.
Because prior to that, I was in Culver City, literally on top of an underground tunnel with all kinds of holy hell happening beneath me. You had the introduction of the drones in L.A. County, which I saw firsthand. You had the major uptick in rioting and violence just blocks away from me. And nobody had a clue. And then you had the human rat himself, the Mayor Garcetti, encouraging people to snitch on anyone who, is breaking the lockdown or they seem, you know, who's a little out there and not going along. It was time for me to go from LA County. So I went to LA County 2.0. I went to Austin, which is almost just as bad.
That's what I'm saying, man. I always thought Texas was like this sort of wild, the Wild West out there, and people were gunslinging, basically. You know, that's the idea I get. Lots of cowboys and guns and cows. And, well, I learned that there's just a lot of men dressed like women there.
Well, yeah, in the big cities, no matter what state you're in, even what country you're in, it's the same playbook. You have globalist influence. The globalists, the corporate communist globalisms, they control the big cities. That's why they wanted to push everyone in the city so they can control us. Oh, you don't like, want to keep your business on? We'll turn your water off. Oh, you don't want to go and get your miracle jabs here in London? Well, we're going to arrest you. We don't even know the atrocities that they've done in places like Pakistan, places like Ecuador, in South America, which is heavily infiltrated by China, which, by the way, the kind of the positive side of some of what I'm saying, Michael, is places like Peru in South America are uprising. They're rioting against this. Even China had their people for the first time, really, since 1989's Tiananmen Square, begin to protest and riot. And they don't want another lockdown. and this is happening. And that's why it's very imperative that we cover these things so the world knows, and the people who are uprising right now, that they're not alone. That they're not alone. In Canada did a protest in their capital before any of us did over here. And that's what I'm saying here, is America, everybody's watching the United States right now. It is the last domino to fall, but it's the last domino to not really have their day in the sun, have their uprising against a foreign occupied government at the federal level and even the state and local level. That's how sick this is. And that's why I'm worried about Canada, because it's no secret. The reason they got this Israeli dome defense system, which is essentially the Star Wars defense program that Reagan talked about in the 80s, is because they're harboring the People's Liberation Army, the PLA of China. They're harboring NATO troops and UN troops. They're harboring Chinese subs and unknown subs right off the shores of British Columbia right now. They have the whore of Havana, Trudeau, who is taking his directives from the Klaus Schwab, think tank and focus group. They're going to be the launching ground to infiltrate and invade the middle section of the United States through Michigan that they've all dreamed about, because they all have the coastals right now. Seattle, L.A., New York, what have you, but they don't have the middle of the country, and that's what they want. And that's why it's imperative for them to keep that Governor Dimwit of Michigan in power, as revved up as she is, because that's where they're going to come through. And we got to be prepared for this. Even Oklahoma has been infiltrated with the Native American sanctuaries the tribes and reservations who sold out their own people, the elders, and signed their own UN treaties. So this is what the war is looking like. It's psychological for sure. It's germ warfare, biological. They've got us to kill ourselves, which is incredible. They didn't fire one bullet. But it's getting to the point now, Michael, where it's about to get kinetic. And we have to be prepared for it. And that's why I'm already calling out the cities that are beginning the BLM and Antifa uprisings, is they're playing Red Hoods.
Oh, yes.
And lurking on the corner.
And while the world is basically at each other's throats, Minnesota congressman calls for tampons to be dispensed in boys' restrooms. So that should just tell you where some people's minds are when there's this big conflict going on. World War III is basically around the corner, and they're worried about tampons in boys' restrooms.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. They're trying to, they really push the T onto LGBT, They really push the T, which is the transgender movement, but it's really the transhumanist. They put it in that group, the LGBTQ people, which is nothing more than a lobbyist communist outfit that is using the plight of the alternative lifestyle people. And they did that because they want us to argue about that. They're always targeting women in these kind of emotional debates and arguments because they know that women, they have the heavy hearts. You look at all the television shows, even the stupid ones, The View.
Right.
It's all geared towards women. The commercials and everything. When you watch sports, it's all about, the athletes and their struggle, their single parent, and, they give you the backstory with the violin to suck in the women, because the rule of thumb with propaganda and how that works with which they learn in the Third Reich is if you get the women, you have the children, so follow the men.
Only a weak man would do that, though. But there's plenty of men that way.
Well, if they're not weak, they're distracted. They're distracted watching the opiates of the toxic masculinity in the United States and abroad. And that's the gladiatorial sports of today, football. However, they're seeing people drop down in football now. And it's undeniable. You have to question, why young athletes are just dropping everywhere.
And by the way, the NFL did try to aim for the little ladies out there. I mean, when they were making all the players wear pink.
Oh yeah, it's demasculating.
Yeah, they were trying.
They're getting their directives from the American Psychology Association, who drafts all these legislations and new nuances and disorders every single year, because they get kickback from it when they present it to Big Pharma to say, see, well, now we have shaky leg syndrome is just taking over the United States. Let's throw some pills at it and make some billions of dollars. You know,
that's how it works. I mean, it's only in America. Only in America will they give you something that will potentially kill you, and then they'll blame you for it, basically.
Well, they got all these new miracle jabs coming out for Alzheimer's. They got a miracle jab. They have a miracle jab for people who are injured by a miracle jab. And you know, the NFL, they're nothing but the lapdog of, well, some would say China, but I would also say just power players in the upper echelons of government, because what the Obama administration did was pretty much hold the NFL hostage, because the NFL has been sitting and hiding data about the true nature of what happens to players after a short period of time. We're talking about head injuries, brain injuries.
Yeah, CTE.
They've been covering that up in the true just dangers of it, because it would rock the world. It would take down the entire entertainment sport there. And they're also, so they're beholden to the Obama administration, who then, that's when they started pushing, you know, all of his objectives. They brought the Sandy Hook kids out for Super Bowl, and I won't touch that one because I'm sure we've heard about that subject a lot.
Yes.
But they've been blackmailed, so to speak, for a long time. And they do what they're told, whether it's anti-gun, whether it's let's kneel at the flag, but let's stand up at the Chinese one. That's what the NFL is about. I can't watch them. They're a bunch of traitors.
They are awful. The NFL is filled with a bunch of crybabies. I mean, once that player dropped on the field, I'm already forgetting the guy's name. But you know, he drops on the field and they called the whole game off after that. I mean, the game usually continues no matter what. Even if someone dies, the game must go on, the show must go on. But that's the mindset of the players and everyone in the NFL. They're weak.
And notice too, they didn't give a response of what really happened to them. You know, it was very silent. It was very silent because when this all comes out, that they force their players to get this, we're looking at the final days, if not, you know, months, year of the NFL. And probably professional sports as we know it, because it's nothing but another corporate conglomerate,
pretty much. It's all another corporation, basically.
And the sad thing too, Michael, is what the high schools and college, universities out there have forced their athletes to do in high school too is the biggest atrocity. You have kids, whether it's football, badminton, tennis, swimming, that are trying to do sports in athletics to get a good education, to get a scholarship, to work hard. Because remember, right, Michael, we were told to work hard, study, be healthy, don't get in trouble, follow the orders. And that's all these kids did. And they're all, if not perishing, they're maimed, they're going to be sterile for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And it's a sad state of affairs.
No disrespect to Damar Hamlin, that's the gentleman's name who collapsed, by the way, but he's doing better now. But yes, no disrespect to him. Or any of the other players, you know, they are, I'm pretty sure, are nervous. But I still think that's kind of a weak mentality to have. The game should have continued, in my opinion. But, you know, they're filled with overpaid professional athletes. And again, most of them are crybabies. Let's just be honest.
It's just, it's a bunch of, you know, it's no different than the hip hop world. It's just a bunch of Illuminati money, insider trading, and you know, they want to chastise and crucify Pete Rose, which is ridiculous. When you got these guys beating their girlfriends and wives, the NFL covers
it
up.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's a disgusting league. Sports was meant to be local, like the old days when baseball started. It was not meant for this because I can't watch it. I won't watch it, but I will pay attention to what's happening in the downfall
of all
these people.
I agree. And when a cop gets shot in the head, do you think everyone just goes home after that?
Yeah, you know, it's the policies have changed. I mean, the football and sports in general, they've changed their policies, their everything, the way they suit up. It's a different mentality. And a lot of these people today, a lot of the athletes, they grew up in the 1990s when there was never a loser. Remember, everybody wins. Everybody's a winner.
Yeah, everyone gets a trophy.
Self-esteem class. I remember I had to take that, you know, before it really rolled out. They would bring out a stupid sock puppet that looked like a gopher. And they said, they would give us self-esteem. And then we compete and play dodgeball. Nobody lost. And, you know, and I'm thinking, isn't this the very exact definition of socialism? To the point where I remember if there was a kid acting up before class was out, well, the teacher would punish us all until everybody shut up, you know, and that particular kid. And I'm thinking, why do I have to be punished as the individual for the errors and mistakes and crimes of another?
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't play ball that way because the greatest minority in the world is the individual.
I agree with you on that one. And moving on away from the topic of pathetic sports in general,
yeah.
You know, my mind has been focused on what's been going on with Russia, Ukraine, the Russian-Ukraine conflict. And, you know, they're saying if the Russians lose the ground battle, then they will turn to nuclear arms. And Biden has warned that it would trigger a World War III sort of scenario. And I certainly hope we don't see anything like that happening. And I believe the UN Secretary General said that nuclear war is back within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, from them. You know, Biden's own nuclear war scenario is happening in his own cabinet because, we found these new documents that they crucified Trump for having at Mar-a-Lago, but, oh, he took it when he was a vice president to that other traitorous CIA asset called Barry Sotero, and they found it in his garage, probably next to the blow-up doll and all the just dead kids that are piled up at the Biden's estate. They found it. And no word from that rubber mask, just bandit. No word. But then you have Lauryn Hill, the press secretary, who's trying to just, you know, chastise reporters for asking and saying, oh, this is fake outrage. So, yeah, they want to do what we've called wag the nuke. Wag the nuke. Just like we saw wag the nuke in 1944 when Truman dropped that bomb on Hiroshima, because you know what, the states had no way of paying back the Federal Reserve all the money from the fallout of the 1930s, which gave us the Social Security and that whole mess. So they're following the exact same thing. They want to have the nuclear war. They blew up the gas pipe. They, as in, you know, NATO, the West, they blew it up to create a greater war conflict that would go way beyond the Ukrainian region. But right now we have, as you said, Miley. I think you said Miley, the defense secretary over there.
Yeah, the general.
Well, right now, General Miley, yes, who went to high school with the tranny other general. Oh, my God.
Not surprised.
And yes, exactly. He's right now in Germany. You have U.S., I'm doing that with quotations, so basically CIA.
Well, you could thank my old friend, you could thank my old friend Michael Aquino for starting all of that. He's kind of the product what you see today with these people dressed the way they are, these men dressed like women. You could thank Michael for that.
Yeah, Michael Aquino.
Yeah.
Wow. Or there's Michael Obama, too, because that was a major policy push during that administration.
Him, too, yeah. But, well, they're all involved. And, by the way, in the chat room right now, in the main photo, I don't think you could see that right now. I don't think you see the chat room over on your side of heaven out there. But I do have a photo of Biden, Hunter Biden, in that sweet Corvette that the big guy owned. And, of course, in the car is a young Natalie and a friend there. And, of course, Natalie was probably 15. And that's, I think it's Bo Hunter or Bo Biden. I think that's his daughter, if that's the niece, correct?
You know, I'm not sure. This first time I've seen it, I wasn't sure if that is.
I believe that is the niece. And, Hunter Biden, if you remember the laptop, you know, he was basically banging the niece, his brother's daughter. Disgusting.
Well, it's, you know, it's a family tradition and practice in these kind of satanic, incestual families. I mean, this is what exactly was happening with the JonBenet Ramsey cases, I exposed years ago. You had the father who was doing ritualistic abuse on the daughter. You had Patsy Ramsey, who had said she experienced that in her upbringing. So this is kind of a normal practice.
Yeah, they see it as normal, no doubt. Yeah, I agree. I think it's happened before. I think a lot of things have happened. Of course, we all know of the whole diary and the big guy showering with,
Natalie right there. Well, I come from the school of thought that, I'm convinced that Biden, or the real one, is dead. I think he died 3 years ago. And, we're looking at a lot of people that may be dead, but it's who's controlling the puppet is really the concern, what I get into. But when it comes to the Biden, the Bunter Hyden laptop, they're really pushing the salacious material that was on these laptops that was brought to us by Steve Bannon. I think he had a lot to do with it behind the scenes. Deals were made. But what we see here in some of the other salacious material that has come out over time, to me, was an insurance policy that was no different than the Huma Aberdeen insurance policy on the Anthony Weiner laptop. And furthermore, is if they really had an honest discussion and investigation, which I think is underway, it's really working on what else is on that laptop that nobody's speaking about. Well, we're talking about the blueprints of CERN, what's actually going on. We're talking about financial deals that go beyond just the sex and scandal and the Hollywood-esque type of material. And that's very concerning, no pun intended, that what CERN's doing is actually what is would be classified as science fiction, but it's also what we know as Project Looking Glass, and that the enemy had at one time.
Oh, by the way, I hate to interrupt you, bud. Oh, my God. I just learned something even more dark and bizarre just now about that photograph I have up. I don't know if you can't see it, right? You're not in there.
I can.
Oh, yeah. You can. Okay, well, I just posted another photograph here of Hunter Biden in that Corvette, and it has been confirmed that is the, I thought she was 15. She's actually 12 years old in this photo. That's Natalie Biden, who has been identified. Okay. And my God, that's just wrong. And I think they're worse than the Clinton family, to be honest.
Well, that's saying a lot.
It's saying a lot, but I mean, I don't think Bill was sleeping with the niece.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, there wasn't a lot of people he wasn't sleeping with.
That's true. Well, he was, married to Hillary, so of course he's going to be sleeping around.
Where is Bunter home now is a question. Last time we heard, he was in Malibu, California, this was about a year ago, if that, maybe under. And we heard that he was in Malibu, California, surrounded by Secret Service protection, and was preparing to do testimony. To whom and to where, that's where the coverage lopped off. We don't know. But it's very suspicious to me, all these things that are coming out, and how he would just, you know, he's having sex with Obama's daughters, posing in front of the camera.
Is that really Obama's daughter, though? I wasn't sure.
Oh, it was Malia. Yeah, I think that's her name.
Yikes.
Whether it's an actual biological daughter, no way. I mean, I don't believe so.
You think she's adopted?
Her and the other girl belong to a judicial judge couple, I believe. I don't have the name Ren.
No worries. It's all good.
Yeah, but
yikes.
Definitely, you know, I've interviewed someone who went to college with Obama and Kamala Harris, and it was very well known in Chicago, just as Larry Sinclair told us, that Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair had a stingy love affair. And yes, that little ditty from and jingle from years back.
Yikes. It's true.
Obama, or let's call him Barry Sotero, before John Branham gave him the little nickname there, you know, play on words to fool us. He was a gay gigolo, is, you know, what you're understanding.
He was a homosexual? I had no idea.
Well, I don't want to say he was a homosexual, but he wasn't into chicks. I'll leave it at that. Conclude your own.
Oh, my goodness. There's nothing wrong with that, bud.
Well, he wasn't into Kamala Harris, who he went to college with. This gentleman's named Randy Short.
Who would be, though? I mean, you know.
Kamala Harris was, you know, she was into alternative, playing fields. But that's how they get the initiation going. That's how you get initiated into the $20 million club. You know, last night I just told the story of the Tupac Shakur story of how he died and why he died.
You're talking about Tupac now.
Well, last night I was some of my Real Deal members.
Okay.
And they were gobsmacked. But you can't be gobsmacked when you understand the initiation. And there is that homosexuality angle to it, but that's the taboo stuff. They want to make sure you're committed. And they want to make sure they have dirt on you. Because when they have dirt on you, you're allowed in the club. You know, whether it's, Hunter Biden and all the dirt he has, they issue it out and divvy it up. Whether it was George Clooney coming to Hollywood, issuing his gay photos and naked photos to everybody so he can get advancement. This is what they do. And that's what happened to Tupac, just randomly here.
That's okay.
Quincy Jones is behind his untimely death.
So Tupac was involved in certain rituals, like maybe even drinking blood or maybe bloodletting as well, perhaps.
No,
it goes further than that.
My understanding, what was told to me, I did some PR work and some PR campaigns with Public Enemy about 10 years ago, and I got to know everybody there. And that was a big band, a huge rap group before the 90s. You know, they were opening for U2 throughout Europe. And basically, is Tupac Shakur was about to get initiated to all this that, you know, Hunter Biden and all the other people have. And he was engaged to the oldest daughter of Quincy Jones, who evidently has been running the so-called urban gay sex rings in Hollywood, who's responsible for the creation of Will Smith, his career, Fresh Prince, and all the other ones. And so, therefore,
he did have to wear a dress. You're right about that. that's what they make you do.
No, you're right. Yeah. Will Smith had to wear a dress, all the other ones.
There you go.
Tupac, Tupac, who was engaged to the, you know, the ringleader's daughter there, Mr. Quincy Jones,
yeah,
the daughter he had with Peggy Lipkin. Well, he said to Tupac that I'm totally down to advance you now. You're going to be my son-in-law, but you have to, you have to sodomize me and let me know how serious you are.
Ooh.
Isn't that terrible?
That is awful.
And I mean,
I can't even imagine
how serious you are. You don't have to sodomize me to tell me how serious you are.
That is wild.
Tupac said no. 2 weeks later, he's dead in Las Vegas.
Did Chuck D tell you this?
Say again, Mike.
I said, did Chuck D tell you this?
No. Not Chuck D. No.
Oh,
Chuck
okay.
D lays low. He lays low on his cat.
On that
nor
stuff,
was
okay.
No, nor was it flavor.
Okay.
But very interesting stuff, though. So, but this is the world, you know, to sum it all up here, in, you know, whatever avenue we go next, but to sum it all up, we're living at a time where tyranny is at its highest. And morale is low, but I'm telling you this, the upside is the awakening and the consciousness has never been higher. For the people that know, for the awakened, we go higher, and the ones who never wake, they remain on the curve there, just go lower.
And Dean, do you think we'll see the kickoff of World War III here in 2023?
No, not this year.
It's not happening.
This year, no, it's not happening because, well, right now we're going to see the financial reset or in the efforts to make that happen this year. As of yesterday, 2 days ago, the Saudis have finally said they're going to trade their oil with not just other currencies, but the main Chinese currency, the yen, is going to be the main currency they're going to trade the oil with. This is a huge problem because in 1944, the U.S. made a deal with the Saudis that we'll buy their oil as long as they trade their oil with U.S. dollars, which makes us, you know, which made the world's reserve currency. That's now ended. And
yeah, it's collapsing.
Yes, even more so because we've been on the petrodollar since 72. So if we don't have the purchasing power, and we're going to have hyperinflation like Venezuela, and there's a correction in the world, you know, markets here because it's been unfair, how are we going to pay for a war is my next question.
That's true. I mean, I see the price of eggs around me and I say, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, one missile alone is nearly $1 million.
That's a lot of money, yeah.
You know, so...
Well, you know
what... scrambling.
You know what happens, Dean, when times like this happen, when we are sort of hitting a depression and, you know, we're sort of getting back into this sort of deal. And, well, I asked this question, well, how do you think we're going to pull ourselves out? My only answer is war. A lot of money there. That's how you bring it back around. Well, I don't personally think that, but that's how the machine likes to think.
Right, right. Well, you have the centralized bankers. You have the EU who are sinking, the Federal Reserve. You have the WEF crown that are grasping for straws. A proclamation about 5 months ago was signed between UN and WEF to accelerate Agenda 2030 by UN to make it to, like, you know, 2025, as in, you know, like, let's speed things up. We're losing. But yes, historically, a war is the next step. Now, I would say we're already in the war. It's just not the war we're used to seeing in the silver screen or that our grandpa's been involved in. The war is happening now. It's happening now. It's masquerading as ordinary times, yet people are flopping over left and right. The war is financial. It's the financial war. And you have players at the world stage, whether it's Putin or maybe even Xi Jinping to a degree, who I'm not convinced is CCP because the CCP killed his dad. And there's, you know, two different Chinas, you know?
Right.
So we see the centralized bankers in the center of the New World Order, which is in the city of London, which is the financial center zone of it all, who are fighting to remain alive and to also counter BRICS, which is a unified agreement of countries to come together and have an even playing field of the financial reset, which, by the way, Brazil is a big player in that. That's why we're seeing a stall right now, because you had the Dominion gods just wreak havoc over their recent election. They're trying to kill Bolsonaro right now. And they're also trying to do their melee in lock and step that we saw the day after January 5th, 2 years ago. That's what's happening in Brazil. And Brazil is a big player. They got the natural resources. They had a great trade route and ports. And the New World Order wants to keep that in their grasp.
Yeah, shit's getting real out there in Brazil, that's for sure.
Yeah, so this is what the war looks like. It's happening now. It's worldwide. Like never before. We're seeing it. It's just America hasn't stood up to the world stage yet to start beating our chest and really making some real change. That's yet to be seen.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope we don't see the tip-off, or the kickoff, rather, here in 2023. Let's keep our fingers crossed that we don't see a huge conflict or a nuke going off anywhere. I mean, that would be awful.
They're trying. Michael, they're trying.
Our country's pushing war, for sure. No doubt.
The bankers are pushing for it. And make no mistake, they have dirty bombs either embedded in certain cities that I think a lot of that has been eradicated during the Trump administration.
All I'm saying is look out for that false flag operation that I think we're going to probably see here in 2023. I think at least by August is what I'm banking on.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to see a false flag that's going to get us into a serious conflict. I mean, so far, it's only been our special sort of units going out there, the CIA and some of the DOD folks are out there as well, doing a few things. I am in contact with a few people that are overseas out there. I can't really say too much, but even they are convinced that something of that magnitude will occur by August. So, you know, don't hold me on that yet, but just keep that in mind, folks. Yeah.
They're pushing for it. They're pushing for the riots here domestically. When the hurricane hit Florida, it hit the biggest fertilizer producer in North America, which gives us, you know, the crops for food. So they're going to try the food demic as well going into further into 2023. They're trying every single avenue, even as far as weather weapons, which is by far one of the biggest things that pisses me off, because you have that illegal citizen. Alleged governor Newsom over there in California, literally grandstanding like Bush on the rubble of 9/11, when all the floods just happened, right? In Santa Cruz and
all
in
over Northern California. All over California, yeah. We saw flooding. Yeah, major floods out here.
No coincidence that this is now happening as the new initiatives are coming out of Davos to do the climate change initiatives.
You're telling me they fired up HAARP again. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, they're geoengineering and cloud seeding like never before. I mean, I'm counting like 20 X's in the skies. People are getting sick from this. It's triggering, people with the miracle jabs. There's graphene oxide allegedly in some of these things. I'm sneezing when I wake up. And I'm not around people. Mm. We're seeing unusual weather, floods like no other. You know, I'm surprised there's no locust and, you know, the Holy Ghost just going around. And then you have Newsom, who's literally replaying the talking points from Davos. Well, this is because of climate change. Now we need the green police who live inside of my head to live inside of yours as well, or we're going to put you in jail as a denier, climate denier.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild stuff. And someone in the chat mentioned Davos earlier about prostitutes going out there. And yeah. Well, that actually happens with all major events, by the way. If you didn't know that already, the Super Bowl, any kind of sporting event, any sort of like major, well, I was gonna say major conference, but I was referring to what's that thing called, the game bullshit they have, Comic-Con. There we go.
Olympics, Comic-Con, Olympics.
They have. There's always prostitutes, ladies and gentlemen. So the fact that, you know, you're finding out right now about prostitutes charging like $2,000 to $3,000 per night. Trust me, folks, this is not groundbreaking news. This has been going on forever.
Well, I think the groundbreaking news about that story, because I covered that the other night on World at War, which if you haven't seen it,
these hoes need money, Dean. The hoes need money.
Well, I think the breaking news, what I discovered was the fact that the hookers were actually female. I think that's the groundbreaking news.
Because well, that's true. That is, you're right there.
Right.
Guy, you got a good point. Good point.
That's the breaking news, Michael. You would think with Klaus Schwab, he wants the Trudeau, strapping young men by poolside. That's the breaking news. But, it's a serious thing. The climate change denying, vocabulary that's coming out is tied into what you started the show with Jackson Hagg and what she's doing there in Texas.
That nasty woman.
Very nasty. Very, very nasty woman. Very nasty. Yeah, it's all going to combine together because freedom of speech, the First Amendment, and the only free speech is allowed is the polite speech, the diverse speech. And who's going to be the deciders here? What, the fact-check people on Facebook that are getting the big pharma money? So
absolutely,
this is where we are.
Yes.
But we're waking up, Michael. We're waking up, but we need to think 5 steps ahead in this chess game because they're anticipating, the Yosemite Sams to pull up, take out their muskets, bum rush capitals. And so right now, this is key too. The new Congress, just to be, to show the duality and all, the new Congress literally is taking a vote to rid the income tax in addition to rid the funding to the FBI.
Really?
This is a big, big, big moment right now. We've never talked like this before. Also, just to be Mr. Positive, they're also bringing up the investigations to investigate human trafficking by the Biden family and his cohorts.
Oh, well, nothing's going to happen to them. They are protected by the feds. They'll be okay. It's all good.
Well, their ratings are polling very low right now. The FBI has been politicized. It has been the Gestapo since the 1950s. We have people in prison right now because of the day after January 5th that are looking at some hard, long time there. So much so, we had a judge who quit the other day who said, this is going to go on for years. Then you have the FBI who's now infiltrating, their stay-behind networks and Twitter. To what degree and what level they have power over there, I don't know. But we know there are Rumble and other places. And this is the kind of war. So it is an intelligence war, the war of infiltration, but still, at the end of the day, it's a war of information.
I'm glad you didn't say it's an info war.
Oh, he got that from the Zbigniew Brzezinski quote. So that's where that stemmed from.
And when was the last time you talked to one Alex Jones, by the way? It's been years,
Alex,
I'm sure.
I haven't talked to Alex in a long time. Yeah, no ill will or anything, although there's a FBI rat who's trying to goad me into a fight with him. I don't know why. I have nothing terrible to say.
That's not good.
It's just not business friendly to, talk very ill will publicly about, place you work or whatever.
I agree.
It's just heinous.
Yeah, you want to keep it professional.
Exactly, yeah.
No, I'm with you.
I don't do that, no.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably best to keep it that way with some of these individuals. And that's that's kind of why I've also tried to reach out to some of these folks that are pretty well known. But I think I already burned those bridges.
it's hard to tell, you know, because the people, you know, that are at the top, like, you know, we're speaking about, they're just as paranoid as we might be. You know, how many times has they been screwed over and been set up, you know? Because I can tell you, just in 1 year alone, last year, I've had a concerted effort of infiltration to take me down. And I've survived it because I kicked all their asses and I won more. But God, it does a number on you. You're like, can I even have real friends?
I know, right?
It's hard.
It really is. It really is. And Dean, I know we've been on for a little over an hour now, and I know you probably have a lot of things to do here. I don't want to hold up. I don't want to hold you up too long. Yeah, I don't want to hold you up. I had a feeling you had to get going here.
Yeah. No, I have a premiere in about 30 minutes on Rumble, which is all good.
Definitely. Go check him out. Yeah, go check him out, boys and girls. Go look up Dean Ryan on Rumble, World at War. And you'll find that new premiere over at rumble.com. Look them up whenever you get a chance. Do it tonight, right after this program. Go and eat. Do what you got to do. Get that gimmick inside of you. Drink, smoke, whatever it is that you do. And go hang out and listen to Mr. Dean Ryan.
Yes. I think people are really going to enjoy the tonight's premiere of Late Night Update. We're going to get more into the geopolitical ionospheres happening overseas and abroad. And I think it's very important now to know what's happening in your world, because it affects you in your pocket, your wallet, and your dinner table. And we're all going through a similar set of scenarios here. But thanks for having me on, Michael.
No problem.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yes, sir. It's always great to talk to you, Dean. I respect you a lot. I've met you. I think you are a great human being. I look forward to meeting you again. And I know you're doing well. I mean, you're doing a lot better than Alec Baldwin is right now. I mean, he's facing some pretty serious trouble. But regardless, it's always great to catch up with you, and we'll cut you loose here, Dean.
Yes, absolutely. And a big thanks to your wonderful, incredible audience and all the RDM viewers out there. We just have crossover, so it's a pleasure. Take care, and good luck to you, Michael. And I always support your efforts. You do a fine job.
Thank you, brother. Talk to you soon, my friend.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And there he goes, boys and girls. That was our friend, Mr. Dean Ryan. And, you know, I didn't even get to ask him a lot of other questions I had in mind. And I can hear the cat crying in the background right now. I guess that means I got to get going pretty soon here. Oh, I feel so bad. I can hear the poor cat crying in the background. I can hear him even louder now. He really wants to go. So, folks, I apologize. I have to cut this short. I have a cat crying at the door here. But I'll leave you with one of my favorite sound bites here, who I miss so much. I do hope Donald Trump returns and becomes the president so we can hear more of our friend right here.
I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Hamanda aka ata raka te da baka.
My God. How do you guys not miss Paula White?
For angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here.
All right, enough of that. That gets annoying after a few minutes. Well, a few moments there. Good Lord. But yes, we miss Paula White. Hopefully she returns to some degree. And ladies and gentlemen, I do want to thank you guys for pressing play and hanging out with me here and listening to our friend Dean Ryan. We will return again very, very soon. I might not be here this weekend, however. I got to be honest, I might not be here. I got to move some things around and get myself settled out here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Got to get myself situated. And I will return shortly, though. We do have Oli Damagard coming up next week. I do want you guys to hang out here and we'll do this again. And if anybody wants to call in, I mean, you could have called in today, but I think a lot of people just wanted to sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, I encourage that. But yes, boys and girls, this concludes tonight's evening of fun and mayhem and mischief. And I do want to thank all of you out there for pressing play, those of you in the chat room. I'll return. Don't worry, you'll see me again. Unless, you know, YouTube takes me out and removes me from you, but I'll always be around somewhere and in spirit. And with that said, the world is a mysterious place, and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, good night, everybody.